I'm milling about with my esteemed colleague, fellow broadcast radio journalist extraordinaire, Mike Sargent, who directed this film From the Shadows. Hey, Mike, so good to see you.
Good to see you. Wow, the first time I'm on your show. So I'm very excited. So,
all right, let's tell the folks how we know each other, how far back we go. Let's be completely honest here.
Well, we go back to the early 21st century, because I took over as the film critic for WBAI after Paul Wunder passed. That was like around 2001. So it's been 22 years that we've been doing radio and covered a lot of junkets, did a lot of press conferences, went to a lot of parties, premieres.
I know. And here we are. Wow.
I know. It's hard to believe. And I've never been milling about before. So
talk about the inspiration for this. Tell me sort of how it all began.
Well, okay. Here's how it began. I have separate lives. Let me just say that. I'm a film critic, but I'm also a filmmaker. I have podcasts, I have radio shows, I'm a graphic designer, so I have a few lives. But in one of my lives, I'm a film instructor, and when COVID hit in 2020, a friend of mine, Ian Holt, reached out to me towards the end of the year, and he knew that I had been teaching this film course that when the pandemic hit, I instantly switched over to doing it. I actually had to convince the people who were in charge of, the organization I was doing the course for, that I could do it online. This is before the whole world had switched to Zoom.
And so we did it.
Museum of the Moving Image, correct. Okay. And so we did it virtually. Had 60 students. I arranged it so it was just like the class was before. Everybody gets divided into teams, and there's a director, there's a writer, there's a script supervisor. And we did it all virtually. And we even had two sets going at the same time. We had some people filming on the street. So pulled it all off, made the short film. And my friend was impressed with this. And, we were talking that summer. By the fall, he reached out to me because a movie had come out during the pandemic called Host. It's essentially a horror film about a seance done on a Zoom call. And of course, it goes awry. And the whole thing is like 50 minutes, like a Zoom call. And it was actually pretty good. And it did very well. And Ian said, hey, he had projects he was working on, but they're all on hold now. And he'd love to do a Zoom slasher film. Would I be interested in directing? Because at that time, he thought he was going to have to direct it, virtually. And nobody else had experience doing that. So I said, sure. And for me, I'm not so much a horror fan as I am, just a good movie. And I'm much more interested in like H.P. Lovecraft, than, let's say, a slasher film. So a lot of those elements kind of came into it. So it's more, there's a psychological element to it. There's a, there are a lot of elements in there. Hopefully you caught all of that, but that's how it came to be. And then eventually by, it was almost a year later, we finally filmed, and that's kind of how it started.
So. It's interesting you say that you're not a fan of the horror genre, because I hate the horror genre, especially when they slash and all that disgustingness. But that being said, this movie was so much fun because you're using screens, you're using an iPhone, I believe, at certain times. It's very now. And I was so impressed with the special effects. And also, you got tremendous talent, Mike.
I know. We were very lucky. First of all, a shout out to the effects. That's Ryan Kelly. He was our editor and he was also our effects supervisor. But yeah, getting somebody like Keith David and Bruce Davison.
I know.
We have no idea. They're both like icons for me. I literally used to do sound bites of Bruce Davison in the beginning of my radio show for like 15 years.
Really? Okay.
Yes. He did a movie called The Lathe of Heaven that I saw when I was like a teenager, and ever since then been a fan. I mean, of course I love Willard, but Lathe of Heaven was the movie for me. So I followed his career ever since then.
Does he know this? Did you tell him?
I did tell him. Well, not only did I tell him, and he didn't even remember when we started filming. I had him on my radio show maybe like 10 years earlier, which was like a big deal, you know? So, but it was, you know, it was on the phone. So we never actually met face to face. So I did remind him, and he was like, yeah, I kind of remember doing this weird late night radio show. And so yeah, it was like a dream come true for me to work with, you know, literally these are great actors.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I don't want to give too much away, but what a great makeup job on Keith David.
All right. I'll give a shout out to Vince Gaustini. And I'll tell you how that came about, because, you know, the whole idea is of the film is that, you know, these two scientists essentially tap into something and it changes them both in not such good ways. And I wanted the Keith David character to have kind of been pulled literally into this force, and it was pulling at him, and it's actually distorting him. And every time he passes from one dimension to the other, he's getting more and more distorted. But I didn't want it to get like crazy. So I did research for actual people who are actually deformed, you know, real deformities, actual genetic deformities. And I found like, this is exactly what I want, you know, like something that could be real. And I sent it to Vince, and then he created some artwork. I could have even shown it to you. He created some artwork based on that, and we were good to go. I mean, he did a great job, but Vince is a veteran too. He's done a lot of great films.
The other thing I didn't know about you, as long as I've known you, is that you were a storyboard illustrator?
Yes, I was.
Talk about past lives.
I've had a lot of lives. Well, I used to do, okay. My background before I was ever doing radio is in art. I went to high school of art and design. I went to Parsons School of Design. So I was an illustrator. But I always loved film. And so some of the earliest, you know, work I got to do in film was doing storyboards. So I've done storyboards for a few films, and even a horror film, cult horror film. I did a few horror films I did. And then a couple of, do you know Frank Reyes? He did a film called Empire. And
yes. Yeah.
So I did storyboards for his last two films. And then I became friends with John Leguizamo. So I did some storyboards for him for some commercials he did. So it's something I enjoy. I don't draw like I used to, but yeah.
What's it like being friends with John Leguizamo?
He's a character. He's a character, but you know, he's a character. He's a character, but he's a lot like you expect him to be. He's not any different than like when you see him in interviews, that's him. He's not putting on anything. So
I love it, because the two of us have met probably every celebrity under the sun, and exactly. People put them on such pedestals. And I think COVID was such an equalizer. Right? It just sort of brought everybody down to the same level. It wasn't like, this is a celebrity and I'm a journalist, you know?
No, I agree. And it also made people a lot more accessible too, I think, during COVID. People like, because you could just sit at home and do your interview and, you know, you didn't have to worry about riffraff, you know? So, yeah, I didn't think of it that way, but you're right, it did.
Yeah, and of course, when you're using the screens, that must have harkened back to those times for you in a way.
Well, it did. You know, the thing is, what's interesting about, you know, the Zoom to me is that, and I'm glad you said that, it kind of, to me, I think it now it's not like a Zoom horror film so much. It's like a horror film that has a Zoom call in it. But everybody can relate to Zoom now. You know, everybody, even if you don't like Zoom, everybody's done Zoom. Everybody's done some version of Zoom, you know, or Google Chat, or, you know, there's so many of them now. So I think that's a kind of a common way for people to, you know, it's like, you know, I remember during the pandemic, people would be like, hey, let's do a Zoom coffee. I'm like, a Zoom coffee? What? You know, so it's like people are more used to talking and actually looking at each other while they talk. So that changed things, I think. And so using that for me as a device now, as opposed to just like the whole movie takes place there, I think it also, like you said, it makes it more real. Everybody can relate to that. That's exactly what we do today. Like, you may have even for what we do, you know, sometimes it's virtual, sometimes it's not, and it really depends. And of course, right now we're getting most of like the crew virtually, which is interesting, but
yeah, you know, very
it's interesting. But in a way, I think it's kind of great because it's putting a spotlight on those people behind the scenes who normally wouldn't get any play. You know, I mean, we live in an age now where you watch Netflix or Disney Plus, like as the credits come up, they're already previewing the next thing and they're ready to swoop that. So you don't, you know, it's like credit don't mean anything. So I kind of like the idea that we're giving credit to those people who are in the credits that get skipped over now. You know what I mean?
Yes, the below the liners, if you will.
The below the liners, exactly. So
I love talking to costume people.
Yeah.
Crafts people, like you said, they just are not getting their due.
Well, they never have. They're only now, like, you know, they'll, you know, I got offered the unit publicist from the original Exorcist film. I'm like, okay.
That would be a great interview.
Yes. So, yeah, you know, like now I'm fascinated. So these are, but again, these are things, these are perspectives on filmmaking we probably haven't heard before. So I like that.
I want to talk to you about some of the cameos. Dr. Dre is in this.
Yes.
How do you know Dr. Dre?
All right. Well, first of all, Dr. Dre is in my first film too. Okay. So if you ever get a chance to see, I did a film called Personals, which actually got later retitled Hooked Up. Dr. Dre's in that too. But actually, I know Dr. Dre through Ian. So both Dr. Dre, Ed Lover's in there for a quick second. But Dr. Dre, you know, he's been very supportive, like for everything that I've done. So I have to definitely give a shout out to Dre as well to say, getting Dr. Dre was fun, you know.
And his music is in there, or did you want it in there?
Well, you're talking about music. We got Alan Howarth, who is, you know, for horror fans, you know, he did most of the Halloween films. He did The Thing. He did, you know, They Live. He did all the Carpenter things. So he's sort of also like horror royalty. So, and his approach, I mean, he actually did some of the music, like that theme you hear for Dr. Dre. That was Alan Howarth, you know, doing some hip hop, which was like, okay. You know, to me, the score and the sound is just as much a part of what creates the atmosphere as any of the visuals you could possibly have.
Absolutely. And also you've got quite the background in sound, and your voice is stunning to begin with. You're on
thank
radio.
You. Thank you, Robin.
So you have that background with sound.
Well, I do have the background with sound. And so, yeah, sound design was definitely something that to me was always going to be an important element in the film. You know, the sound and what we hear, you know, and even hearing the sound just before the scare, you know, because of how we perceive things. So there are a lot of things that for me, sound wise, when it came down to the editing, that, you know, made, you know, to me, it's a big part of what makes a horror movie is the sound. You know, because you don't have to see so much, but if you hear the blood or you hear, you know, a shriek, you know, like in Psycho, as it were, you know, those shrieking violins is more memorable than anything. So, yeah, I think sound and music it's a big part of, you know, I started out as a sound designer for theater. That's what I used to do. And I know. It was in another life. I used to do sound for theater.
So have you been sneaking into the back of your theater?
I haven't yet. I mean, not yet. I mean, this is, we only had one cast and crew screening, and I wasn't able to make that. And we're recording this on the 13th, and the premiere is on the 19th. So I'll be there for that. Then it opens up here in New York at the Angelico on the 22nd. So I'm definitely going to be there on the 22nd, but I'm sure I will sneak in a few times just to be, like, if you see a guy in the back with dreads, that's probably me, you know. Yeah. So.
So also, I want to know what's going on with your film Bad Boys. I think you once approached me.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes, I did. Well, Bad Boys. It's a documentary about why do women love bad boys, and gender politics is a big, you know, it's a big interest of mine, and in all of my work, there's an aspect of that in there. But I had to pause that because don't know if you remember, about 6 years ago, I had a TV show.
Arise.
Yes. And when that happened, that like took over my life. And at the time, that's when I was working on it. And then I just kind of, I had to put it on hold. And so it's funny you ask, because now I'm just going back to it now. Like, I've been getting some interest and people want to know about it. And they're like, well, what happened? And so, yeah, I do intend to, because I have so many people in it, that, you know, names and at least one or two people who have passed now. So
interesting. So, yeah. So you reached out to famous people as well.
Okay. You'll appreciate this. What I would do, I did reach out to famous people, but what I would do was, okay, you would really appreciate this. When I would do the junkets during that time, okay, and it was for TV, I mastered the art of bonding with whoever I'm interviewing, getting some great stuff out of them, and then asking them if I could ask them a question for my documentary and sign a release in 15 minutes. So, yes, that was, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. So, yeah, I have a lot of people. I have Terrence Howard's in there. Ice Cube is in there. I have so many people are in there. You'd be surprised. I have to look at the list now, but yeah, I did.
So you took that opportunity. I love it. I love it.
Why wouldn't I? So I've got a lot of folks in there.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean, there's another person that we both know very well who became a very successful director, our friend Rod Lurie.
Oh, Rod Lurie, yes. Well, he's probably, yeah. He's for film critics who became filmmakers, he's probably the biggest name. And there's only a handful. I like to say, yes, you know, Francois Truffaut and Mike Sargent. And, you know, I like to, you know, those are the film critics who became filmmakers.
Well, it's good for, you know, people watching this or listening this to know that there are other careers that they can sort of branch out into, and that radio isn't necessarily dead.
No. Well, you know, the interesting thing for me is, in terms of my path, is that I started out as a filmmaker and then I became a film critic. And I will say that being a filmmaker and then becoming a film critic is like being undercover, because then you're like, oh, these are the people who are judging my work. You know, it's a very different, it gives you a very different perspective on the industry, being on our side from being on the other side. It also, you know, I'm also, I think I became a better interviewer too, because I remember some awful interviews, people who were really unprepared interviewing me. And you're like, yeah, I never wanted to be that person. You know what I mean? So yes. Yeah, there are, I mean, if you love film, you should, you know, the best thing about being a film critic to me, as a filmmaker, is I got to meet and interview all these great, like, people, like, I would not necessarily get a chance to sit down, you know, for a half hour, 45 minutes with, you know, Francis Ford Coppola or, you know, Steven Soderbergh or, you know, all these directors, Spielberg, that I've gotten to sit and talk about film with. So that was very, very, and I was always more interested in talking to the screenwriter or the director or the producer. So
of those course, are the people, right. You want to pick their brain because, you know, absolutely. You're next.
Well, you know, yes, because I'm next. So that's what it was for me. For that's probably the best thing about being a film critic for me, was actually getting that time. You know, as a matter of fact, I have a book I'm working on too, from questions I asked.
I was going to say, there's a book, yes, probably in you.
Yeah, there is. Well, you know, I could tell you, yeah, I have these three questions I used to ask everybody. And those three questions, I asked everybody. And I say everybody, I mean everybody. So the book will, and so it'll be storytellers on storytelling kind of thing. They all answer these same three questions. And
those questions are?
Okay, sure. The question is, first question would be, when did you first know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Okay. Second question is, in your opinion, what makes a good story and a story worth telling? Okay. And then the third question is, you know, since stories and storytelling has existed in every culture, from, you know, cave drawings on, why do you think we as human beings need stories? What's the point? What's the purpose? I got some great answers.
Oh, I bet. And we're out.
Yeah, exactly. I got
that's
great
answers. That's a wrap.
Exactly. So yes, that's what that's the book, essentially, that.
Very cool. Like 20
cool. Years of interviews, so.
Excellent. So what else besides the book is next for you? I hope I get to see you at a screening sometime soon so I can get a hug. You got
you'll get a hug.
So good to see you. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Thank you. And well, I listen, and everybody who's watching, please go see From the Shadows. And I'll also say, if you don't get to see it while it's in the theaters, it'll be on Vudu after the 29th, and it's a good popcorn movie, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Lots of popcorn.
Always new.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.